Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome to this President's Day edition of Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you here with us. Welcome especially to those of you who are ex-presidents of the United States. Washington, Lincoln, maybe they're listening.
I would imagine so.
Really? That's what I would do if I were in their position. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and we have a couple of great hours for you today. Open forum for non-Catholics. So if you are a practicing Catholic, if you go to Sunday Mass, you live the faith, please let others call in today. This hour, we invite those of you who are non-Catholics. Maybe you are a fallen away Catholic. Maybe you are thinking of becoming a Catholic. Anyone from atheist to RCIA student, we welcome your call. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. He made the video with the title that says it all, Why Be Catholic? Amen. And wrote the book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Cy, it is great to be with you, my friend.
And you as well, just back from Texas.
Yeah, Waco, Texas. But as we were saying, I didn't get over to see the Branch Davidian compound there where they have the memorial, or it's more of a shrine to David Koresh, which is a bit odd. But yeah, a lot of folks are surprised to know that the Branch Davidians still exist.
I frankly was surprised to know it.
They don't have as many folks. But yeah, they still exist.
I'm refraining. I'm sorry. I was tempted, but
that was bad.
Yeah,
that was a bad setup.
I know it was. Did you see me hold myself back?
Yes.
I didn't. Yes. Well, God bless them.
Yes,
and the people of Waco. So, what parish were you in?
It was St. Louis Catholic Church, tremendous parish with an incredible pastor, Father John. If you're out there watching or listening, fantastic. Spoke to an enthusiastic crowd. We probably had around 500.
Wow.
There. Also spoke at the school. Great teachers there. This is how good this school is. I did an extra. I was supposed to do three talks. I actually did an extra. No extra charge, folks. Little
Q&A. Careful, that's going to become a habit now.
That's right.
You said.
That's right. I didn't say all the time. But did an extra Q&A session. And here I was... not to the whole school. This was just for the ninth graders. And they were asking fantastic questions. I could tell somebody has been catechizing these kids because they're asking, you know, some tough questions. And sure enough, their theology teacher has a PhD. And I'm thinking, my goodness, a PhD teaching ninth grade. But this woman was very knowledgeable. And when I was answering questions, she would pipe. I've forgotten her name right now, but she would pipe in, and she was really sharp. And I'm going, wow, this is a woman who loves to teach and feels like this is where she is called to be.
Do you think we could get her for Catholic Answers Live?
Exactly.
Maybe she's. I mean, maybe she's probably off by that.
But you know what,
right?
Cy? Yeah. I tell you, I love, as you know, because of my wife giving birth and everything, I blocked off 2 months where I did not travel. And I must admit, I was clamoring to get back out there because I miss meeting the folks, sharing the gospel, getting the questions. And it was really exciting to see a pastor who was on fire, a congregation also that was on fire. And I think... some of the reason was an on fire pastor, but it's just so exciting to see a parish where you've got rock solid, and it's a gorgeous St. Louis Catholic Church here in Waco. If you're in the area, check it out because it's an absolutely gorgeous parish. The stained glass, it's like a throwback. You have just these gorgeous stained glass that tell the gospel story and story of great saints. So, you know, it was an exciting trip, exciting to see. There are fired up Catholics out there with wonderful Catholic parishes all across this country.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you are a non-Catholic, this is the day for you. This is an open forum for non-Catholics. Any question you have about the Catholic faith.
And I used to be one, by the way.
That's right. You were a Baptist. You started out a Baptist.
I didn't just start out a Baptist. I started out a Baptist. There's a difference.
What is the difference? I didn't go to school for that. I'm not clear on the subtleties. What is the difference?
See, my Southern friends out there watching right now will know that there's a difference between Baptist spelled with a P and Baptist spelled with B-A-B. Because when you're in the South, you are a Baptist. And when you're a Baptist, that means Catholics better watch out.
Oh, really? Wow. So that was a longer journey then. From Baptist would have been a shorter journey.
Yeah. I was raised in a, you know, Catholicism wasn't even to be considered seriously. I mean, it was so crazy.
Yeah.
So out to lunch. At best, it was an error. More often, it was the Whore of Babylon of Revelation 17, you know, and the Satan's greatest masterpiece and such. And so I really, now I'm not saying everybody, you know, was like me. We've come a long way in ecumenical dialogue and we've done a lot of good things in recent decades. But there are a lot of folks like I am out there now. When I'm addressing a church like St. Louis in Waco, Texas, they understood what I was talking about. Because you know? there's more Baptists in Texas than there are people. I don't know if you knew that or not.
But aren't they people, though? It's hard for me to...
No, there's more Baptists than people. Now, this is an old Baptist joke because, see, if you were raised Baptist, you know what I'm talking about. In the Baptist communions, it's all about you preach a fiery sermon and you get folks saved. You have the altar call at the end of church. And you get folks to get saved, and then you count the tally. Hey, we had 10 saved last week. But there's kind of a joke among Baptists and some evangelicals that some folks will get saved multiple times.
I see.
And they get added multiple times. So you end up with more Baptists than people in Texas. But at any rate, I mean, I can relate to, you know, those of you who will call in who are not Catholic having lots of questions about the Catholic faith, which I did. I had a lot of caricatures of the Catholic faith. You know, I really was attacking most often a phantom or a straw man, and I find there's a lot of folks like that. But, you know, for some, it can be legitimate questions, and you have a problem with what you understand as Catholicism. Let's talk about that, too, because I find, and I have found over the years, Cy, that the more we lay out the truths of the Catholic faith, the more good stuff happens. Folks come home, folks come back, and some folks who have never been Catholic become Catholic, like me.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Taking calls from non-Catholics today. It's open forum. Any question you want to ask about the Catholic faith, we're happy to take it. You just got to be non-Catholic when you call. 888-31. Maybe you won't still be non-Catholic when you hang up. I don't know.
That's right. And this could be, you can be Islam, a Muslim. You can be Buddhist. You can be Hindu. You can be an atheist, an agnostic, or a member of any Christian sect or quasi-Christian sect, as we call Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, you name it, we want to hear from you.
But not Confucians.
No, we don't want confused people.
That's not what Confucian means.
Or Confucianists. How's that?
All right. But now, I just want to clear one thing up.
Yes.
Jimmy Swaggart, is he a Baptist or is he something else? Or
Jimmy Swaggart, when I went to Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, he was the biggest thing in the Assemblies of God.
He and
Jim Baker were both Assembly of God evangelists, but both of them subsequently got kicked out. Well, actually, Jimmy Swaggart, when he fell into his sins, his became public sins, he was called on the carpet by the Assemblies of God. And in the Assemblies of God, those who are ordained, if they fall into a sin like that, they have a program they have to go through. You have to step down for 2 years, get counseling, and all sorts of things. But Jimmy wasn't having that stepping down for 2 years thing, so he left. So it wasn't that he really got kicked out. He left as a result of that. So now he has joined what I call the largest denomination in the Protestant world. That is the non-denominational denomination.
I see.
Which really consists of, you know, you never know when you go into a non-denominational community what you're going to get until you get in there, because it's whatever the pastor says, basically.
Got it.
Yes.
Open forum for non-Catholics, 888-318-7884 is the number. This is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host, and we will be right back with Tim Staples.
join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then we're going to take $10 from each set purchased and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be part of something great. Call 888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 9:14, Jesus approached a crowd that was arguing with some of his disciples. Apparently, they had not been able to drive an evil spirit out of a young boy. Addressing Jesus, the boy's father said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith," Jesus replied. The man responded, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Has it ever occurred to you how pleasing to the Lord the man's answer was? It was so honest and so heartfelt. It was a parent's acknowledgement of concern and want. He wanted so much to help his son, and yet was so helpless to do so. His statement of faith couldn't have been more humble, and the Lord always, always responds to humility. He readily acquiesces to the parent-child in us all. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Open forum for non-Catholics this hour. Open forum for non-Catholics. And I just saw him in the studio, but I think he left, Carlo Broussard. If you live in Central or Northern California, you are in for a treat this week because Carlo is going to be giving a series of talks. Beginning Saturday, February 25th, and running through Tuesday, February 28th in San Jose, Santa Clara, Saratoga, Los Altos Hills, and Campbell, California. So you just go to the Catholic Answers Facebook or Twitter pages and you hear all about it. But I do not see Carlo anymore, or else I would ask him about it. But it's going to be great. So would you look up where Carlo is going to be on Facebook Live? 888-318-7884 is our number here. Open forum for non-Catholics. Tim Staples, the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. We go to Eddie in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening on 92.1, the Station of the Cross.
Hi.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, I would like to know why. I went to a Catholic university for like 6 years, and I never even heard of the RCII play program. Hmm.
What Catholic university did you go to?
I went to Gannon.
To Gannon. I haven't heard of that. But what is your question then? Why don't we talk more about the RCIA program?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been that hard to reach, you know. I mean, but I heard nothing about anything, you know.
Yeah.
All I knew was what I was doing was trying to finish my education, you know. And
Right. Being
at a Catholic university, I would have thought something would have touched me somewhere, you know.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I think at times, now I'm not saying this of you, Eddie, but at times when I find that people can be raised in Catholic families and go to Catholic schools and such, and they'll point their finger at the schools and their upbringing. But I'll tell you a little story, Eddie. I once debated a pastor, an evangelical pastor who was a former Catholic, and he talked about how, like you, Eddie, and again, I'm not putting you in this category, but he talked about how being raised Catholic, he was never taught this or that. Well, I did a little research, Eddie, and I actually talked to his pastor. I was a little sneaky. And I talked to his pastor, who just recently died, in fact. and became a very good friend of mine, who said he knew him, this pastor, and his family. They did not go to Mass regularly, and they were anything but strong Catholics. So I think sometimes, Eddie, the problem, this is not for you so much, Eddie, as the audience out there, a lot of times it's not that things aren't being said, but our ears are filled with wax. Or we have our fingers in our ears. We're not listening, and we don't hear what's going on. I know I can go to Mass, Eddie, on Sunday and hear an incredible sermon by my pastor, Father Anthony Sirocki, but I will guarantee you there are kids all over that congregation that are sitting there, when is this going to end? I can't stand this. And now years from now, they'll say, oh, I was never taught anything. But the fact is they weren't listening. Now, having said that, Eddie, there is also a real problem, and I acknowledge that, Eddie, especially at Catholic universities and colleges, at times where we don't evangelize like we should. There is no doubt about it. I've been on campuses like Texas A&M, where you have an incredible Newman Center there. A Catholic culture is being created. They evangelize on campus. I mean, it's incredible what's going on there. And I've been to other campuses where it's crickets. It's crickets. Bottom line is, Eddie, when you're a member of the Catholic Church, which is well over 1 billion members, you're going to experience all kinds of Catholicism, meaning not that there are different kinds of Catholicism. Ultimately, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, but not everybody, Eddie, is on the same page spiritually. Some people go to church, they're there in body, but they're not there in spirit. We have problems with some priests, though the overwhelming majority of them are fantastic. We have problems. Eddie, remember this old axiom. In fact, it was first spoken by a guy, I think, named Tim Staples many years ago. And I said this to a priest, Eddie, or an ex-priest who I was actually debating many years ago, who shared with me all the horrible things he saw in the Catholic Church in Cuba, where he was a priest. And I said to him, Eddie, please, my friend, do not leave Peter because of Judas. There will always be Judases in the church. There will always be sinners in the church. And Eddie, you and I are really good at it. Well, I know, Eddie, I am. I'm good at sin. That's why I go to confession regularly. Just went last week, in fact. See, because the church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. So we've got all different kinds. We have Judases and we have St. Peter's. We have St. Catherine of Siena's. And then we have folks that you see in newspapers that are doing bad things. But the bottom line is, Eddie, we need all of us. We need you, Eddie, in the Catholic Church to make a difference, to be good Catholics, to go in and make an impact. It's kind of like, Eddie, you know, our John Kennedy said, you know, President John F. Kennedy said, when he famously said, although I think the Democrats wouldn't recognize him today with the way things have changed in his party, in my humble opinion, but he said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Don't you think, Cy, that applies for the church? It's not so much, you know, what the church can do for you, but what can you do for the church? We need to get in and understand that we as members of the body of Christ are crucial for each other, to minister to one another, to be good Catholics, and to be good witnesses. Right, Eddie? Doesn't that make sense?
It does.
I really appreciate your call.
Yes, and about that Kennedy quote?
Yes.
Well, I was in seventh grade when he got assassinated, okay?
Yes.
And since that day, our country has taken a downward swing until now.
Yes.
Because it confused everything even more with LBJ, and on and on and on it went, okay?
Hey, I'm with you on that, but we're taking a turn toward politics here, aren't we, Eddie? You and I should sit down and have a beer and talk, Eddie, but maybe not on the radio broadcast here.
And you're probably going to have to pay, Eddie, just so you know. Yeah. Moving to Steve in Van Horn, Texas, listening on 89.9. Steve, you are on with Tim Staples.
Why can't the Catholic Church... I would love for Pope Francis to do this. Why can't the Catholic Church have a foot washing service where they invite all denominations of Christendom so we can be the female submissive to Christ that we're supposed to be? I'm not a Catholic, but I'm part of the church, and therefore I am a Catholic. I'm just not a Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then so abortion will be stopped, divorce will slow down, because a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Amen.
This is what Abraham Lincoln spelled out. We, the United States, is what the Catholic Church and all Protestant churches are supposed to be. One. Then we see victory because Jesus commanded it.
Right.
Jesus commanded John 17.
Well, let me toss out an idea to you here. I believe we already have exactly what you're talking about in the Catholic Church. We are one holy Catholic and apostolic. In fact, my friend, what I discovered when I was a Protestant who studied Catholicism really critically, trying to disprove it, is I discovered this unity, this just the fact, Steve, that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The same Eucharist that we teach today has been taught for 2,000 years. The seven sacraments, the primacy of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, apostolic succession. We could go down the list of doctrines that were around, Steve, think of this, 1,500 years before Luther was even on the scene. We already have that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Unfortunately, though, my friend, what's happened is we have individual people like Luther, Calvin, Knox, Zwingli, and we could go down a couple hundred years to Wesley, the Wesley brothers, and on down till today. Men have established their own churches, not founded on Jesus Christ, but founded on the personalities of individual men. And that's why we have over 30,000 denominations today that has introduced the confusion that you are talking about. This is why, Steve, we are here at Catholic Answers Live to help people to see we have a unity that the United States cannot even dream of, my friend. The United States that exists today is a shadow compared to what it was in 1776. Imagine, we've slaughtered tens of millions of babies in the womb. Do you think George Washington would approve? Abraham Lincoln would approve? Of course not. The slaughtering of innocent children, the unjust wars. We could go on and on with the problems we have in the United States. And yet, again, I'm an American citizen. I love my country, but I have to acknowledge that the United States, in these ways I mentioned and many more we could talk about, has devolved over the last couple of hundred years. Now, there are some things certainly we have improved on, to be sure. The treatment of our African Americans, absolutely. We went from slavery to free. That is huge. But we have problems as well, my friend. The legalization of pornography, divorce. You know, we could go on and on and on. But the bottom line is, my friend, the Catholic Church has this unity in word and in sacrament that has given birth to thousands and thousands and thousands of saints all around the world, that has literally transformed the world. I'd like to invite you to check it out, my friend, because when you dig deep into what the Catholic Church actually teaches, you are going to find the church that Jesus established.
Thank you, Steve. Tim, we are live on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope today, which means it's going out over the internet. And there you go. Look into the camera every now and then, Tim. And so we have a question from YouTube Live. Henry, I'm in RCIA right now. I don't have a sponsor. How does that work?
Yeah, well, my friend, you talk to the people at your RCIA, and they will help you to get a sponsor. It may be, Henry, I don't know your situation, but I remember when I was in RCIA, hard to believe now, that would have been almost, let's see now, that would have been 1988. I'm almost 30 years ago. It's 29 years ago I was in RCIA. I can't believe it's that long, Cy. It just seems like last week I became Catholic. But Henry, what happens is sometimes you have converts who come out of a family where there's no Catholics, and they're all alone. They don't even know a Catholic. In fact, I have a dear friend who converted. In fact, his family, I won't get into details, but let's just say his family persecuted him as a result. Oh. And so he had to be given a sponsor by the church. So I don't know if that's your case, Henry, but if you can't find a sponsor, the people in your RCI program will help you.
Open forum for non-Catholics today. If you are a non-Catholic and have any question about any aspect of the Catholic Church, Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, happy to take your call. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did Jesus even exist? How can we trust what the Bible says about him? Didn't Jesus' followers invent a lot of myths about him based on stories of pagan gods? In 20 Answers, The Real Jesus, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, taking on the claims of modern skeptics about Jesus' life, his teaching, and his legacy, providing compelling evidence that the historical Jesus and the Christ of faith are one and the same. 20 Answers, The Real Jesus is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy to have you here with us today. 2 hours of open forum for non-Catholics today on this President's Day. Hope you are enjoying your day off if you got one for President's Day. And glad you're spending it here with us. You can find us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope if you would like to see what we're doing here in the studio today. But you can also just join us on air like you usually do if you prefer. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Open forum for non-Catholics. Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, taking your calls. We go to Patrick in Temecula, California, listening on 1000 AM. Patrick, you're on with Tim Staples.
Thank you.
What's your question, Patrick?
Well, it seems to me that most people, most Catholics identify with the Republican Party. The quandary that I have is I see thou shalt not kill as I'm having a hard time articulating this, but I can see how people would identify the Democratic Party with abortion mm-hmm. and the Republican Party with repealing it. Mm-hmm. But I see the Republican Party as dragging us into war, and I'm having a hard time picking a side.
Right. That's a great point, Patrick. First of all, you know, we have at Catholic Answers what we call the Voter's Guide for Serious Catholics. You might want to check that out. We put it out in 2004, and it has, oh my goodness, it sold millions of copies, which is, that's quite a feat in Catholic circles. You know, in the world, big deal. But in Catholic circles, when you sell millions of anything, that's amazing. But in our Voter's Guide for Serious Catholics, one of the points that we make there is really the Catholic Church is not Republican or Democrat. In fact, we call both Democrats and Republicans to repent. Right. And we challenge our people in our voter's guide to vote in accordance with the issues. Because imagine, Patrick, imagine if you have folks who are saying, OK, I'm going to vote Republican because I'm Catholic. Well, what happens if you have a Republican candidate who is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage, running against a Democrat who is pro-life and for marriage, for traditional marriage? I mean, are you going to vote Republican? Of course not. So that's point number one. But point number two, you make a very important point here. You know, what about war and such? Now, we could debate, you know, who has led us into more wars. You know, in fact, I argue in this last election, you know, we had a Democratic candidate who never saw a war she didn't like. And we had quite a few Republican candidates as well who never saw a war they didn't like. I find it somewhat refreshing that President Donald Trump has at least said, let's not do this nation building and you know, go into war with everybody. I mean, my goodness, we've got guys like John McCain who I think if he had his way, we'd be fighting wars all over the place. So, but, you know, we could debate those issues, right? Who is really more the warmonger? But I think the most important thing, Patrick, to consider is that there is an essential difference between war and abortion in this sense. Now, if we're talking about an unjust war, all right, that's a different animal. But war per se, wars can either be just or unjust. We can debate as Catholics. Let's take the Iraq War, for example. There were Catholics in good standing that were on both sides of the issue there. Many who said that's an unjust war, and some who said it's a just war. You were not barred from communion for holding either position. Catholics can legitimately disagree when it comes to that. However, when it comes to abortion, my friend, we're talking about something that is objectively, intrinsically immoral. There are no exceptions whatsoever. We've slaughtered, as I mentioned before, well over 50 million innocent babies. So I don't believe you can put these two are not on the same level. Abortion is the most grave evil of our time, and we need to consider it as such. And this is why, Patrick, by the way, in our Voter's Guide for Serious Catholics, we talk about abortion, euthanasia, which is has spread all over this country. And in just the last 12 years, the amount of euthanasia in our country has been it's gone through the roof. Astonishing. And the line of demarcation, I believe, was the Terri Schiavo case, where we had basically this poor woman was euthanized basically on television. They took the cameras out for the last couple of weeks because, of course, they don't want to show the grim end to this woman's life. But the bottom line is, whereas 30 years ago, we were called extremists if we said, hey, abortion's going to lead to euthanasia. My friends, it has. And now we have physician-assisted suicide. And we go down the list there in our voter's guide. We talk about embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, which is now being experimented on all over. Government doesn't pay for it, but it's fully legal. It's being experimented with all across the United States, and a lot of folks don't even realize it. And now homosexual so-called marriage. We have these matters that are intrinsically evil that we as Catholics have a duty. In fact, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, I'm trying to remember the year, it put out a document on certain proposals to legalize same-sex unions. And notice it didn't use the word marriage. It said unions. I believe that was 2004, as I recall. And it says that we as Catholics have a duty to oppose the legalization of homosexual unions of any sort, mimicking marriage. It doesn't have to be marriage, but any sort mimicking marriage. These are deal breakers for Catholics. Whereas when it comes to war, we can have a real debate as to what is just and what is unjust. So we're not trying to be overly simplistic in our voter's guide. We recognize you can have particular situations. Let's say if you're living in Nazi Germany and you're under a government that you know is slaughtering Jews, is starting unjust wars all across the country, where you have a situation where that is more grave than the abortions going on. Of course, that's a possibility. But we're laying out objective truths here, Patrick. We have to look at our situation, look at the objective truths, and then we can apply the subjective situation. But if we don't understand that there's a difference between, you know, killing an innocent human being and killing someone who unjustly is attacking our nation or attack. Look, I'm a father of seven children. Somebody comes in my house and wants to kill my wife and children. Guess what? They're going to have to come through me. And I'm packing, my friends, just so you know. If you come in my house, in fact, I sleep with my 9mm right under my pillow every night. Normally, I have my hand on it, so don't come in my house. I'm going to defend my family, even up to and including, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, delivering the lethal blow, if it is necessary. But you can never, in any circumstance, slaughter innocent human beings. So, Patrick, you can see why Catholics are so up in arms over abortion, whereas when it comes to something like the Iraq War, I know lots of Catholic friends who were strongly opposed to the Iraq War, bishops, priests, and so forth. But there is not the same level there as there is when it comes to abortion, because we're talking about something like abortion. I mean, just, Cy, I think sometimes, and Patrick, we miss this. We're talking about over 50 million babies that have been slaughtered, and now it's right at almost a million a year that continue to be killed. And then we're talking about the wars total in Iraq and Afghanistan for all the years we've been there, what, 12 years or whatever it is now. We've lost something like 2,500, I believe, men and women who have fallen. I mean, that's a huge number. But to put things into perspective, you know, we're talking about fight. These are combatants that are fighting and so forth. And we're talking 2,500. We lost almost 500,000 in 4 years in World War II. We lost right about 50,000 in 10 years of Vietnam. And here in Iraq and Afghanistan, now we're talking about losses on our side. Of course, there are losses on the other side. But we have to put these things in perspective. I think at times, as the great bishop of Rockford, Illinois said years ago, Bishop Doran, I remember he said, anyone who can vote for a pro-abortion candidate when you have a viable pro-life candidate has lost a sense of what we're talking about when we talk about abortion. And now we can add the other non-negotiables like homosexual marriage as well. Forgive me for ranting a bit there, Patrick, but I think that you've asked a really, really important question. I hope I've helped some.
Thank you, Patrick. Now, be careful, Andre. We go to Andre, who is traveling on Highway 55 heading towards St. Louis. He's listening on 94.7 FM. Andre, drive carefully. You are on with Tim Staples.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. Yes. And let me first begin by saying how much I appreciate the Catholic Church. I have the benefit of about 6 years of Catholic training through high school and college myself. And you guys stand for so many great positions. For example, the ones that you just mentioned, abortion, family, and a lot of great things, I guess.
Appreciate that, Andre.
I'm sorry?
I appreciate that. Thank you, Andre.
You bet. Well, I'm currently a conservative evangelical is probably the best way you can put me.
Yes.
I'm one of those motley non-denominationals, as you described them earlier.
You got it.
And, yeah, and I guess my issue relates to the biblical basis for Catholicism versus, I guess, my current belief system. And I see a disconnect there.
Right.
Primarily, you know, as it relates to church-made doctrine versus what I can find in the Bible.
Right.
And I just want to know,
sure,
you know, how is it that, you know, because I understand, I think the apologist online actually was not a Pentecostal, but some sort of Protestant.
Yeah, I was Assembly of God. I was an Assembly of God youth pastor, in fact, before I converted.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. You're both then. So,
and I was raised a Southern Baptist, so I was raised an evangelical and became a Pentecostal.
Okay, well, great, because I've got a motley background myself,
okay,
and Pentecostal and all that.
Gotcha.
But, you know, so my point is, obviously, you know, why should anyone who,
sure,
I think, you know, we're getting biblical teaching right, and I'm a Chicago,
sure,
resident, you know, go to or be persuaded by Catholicism that has, at least in my personal view,
sure,
so many man-made doctrines that, again, in my view, depart from what I can find in Scripture?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, Andre, as one who used to believe as you, I will tell you why I did. Number one, I find that Protestantism that you just spoke of, like the non-denominational Protestantism, itself has absolutely no foundation in sacred scripture. The idea, Andre, and as a matter of history, this is where Protestantism came from. Martin Luther taught a doctrine, justification by faith alone, that was never taught by a single Christian for 1,500 years. In fact, it is as explicitly as I can imagine contradicted by St. James in James 2:24. In fact, Andre, what I found is the only place in the entire Bible where the words faith alone are found, the words not by are right in front of them. We see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. You have Matthew 12, 36 and 37, where Jesus, speaking in the context of the final judgment, says in verse 37, I'll focus on, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Words are more than just faith. That's something you say, something you do. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, St. Paul says, God will reward each man according to his works. To him who continues in good works, his reward shall be glory, incorruption, and everlasting life. There, St. Paul says, everlasting life is a reward for good works. Now, is faith involved? Absolutely. It's constitutive of the salvific act in the life of a believer. You have to be a believer to be sure. We are justified by faith, Romans 5:1 says. But the problem was faith alone is nowhere to be found. In Galatians 6:7, for example, St. Paul says, let no man be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, any farmer knows that's something you do, sowing seeds. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If he continues to sow to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap death. If he continues to sow to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us therefore not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap the reward. What reward? What reward? Everlasting life. If we faint not. Or if, as one translation says, if we do not lose heart. My brother, I could go down a litany of more verses here, but here's the bottom line. What I found is Martin Luther's justification by faith, which became what he called the doctrine upon which the church rises or falls. That's his most important doctrine, was absolutely unbiblical, absolutely false, and this colored the Reformation and has for the last 500 years. Now, there are some Protestant sects who have moved away from justification by faith alone and get it closer to correct. But the overwhelming majority of reformers, and John Calvin, who, you know, that's a whole nother hour we could talk about. John Calvin, you know, got us even further off track from what the Bible clearly teaches. So, Andre, I look at that, and then I look at what the church, what Jesus clearly taught in the Bible, is that he didn't give us a Bible, he gave us a church. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew 18, 15 through 18, he says, and this is instructions that are perennial till the end of time, Andre, he says, if your brother shall offend against thee, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he won't hear you, what do you do? You don't get your Bible out and start arguing. He says, take one or two with you, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he will not even hear them, tell it to the church. And the one who fails to hear the church shall be as a heathen and a publican. In other words, Jesus established the church to be his authority to speak for him. That's exactly what we see happen in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 15, Andre, I'll give you homework. When there was a heresy that threatened to tear a fledgling church apart there in Antioch in the first century, what did they do? Paul and Barnabas came in, tried to settle it. They couldn't settle it. What did they do? They had a council. The church declared on the matter, and the matter was settled. That's the way the church functioned. And my friend, as a matter of history, the Encyclopedia Britannica, for example, will tell you, if you go to its entry on the Catholic Church, you will find it's the church started by Jesus in 33 A.D., the fact is, that's how the church, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, functioned for 1,500 years until some men came along and started teaching traditions of men that contradicted the Word of God.
Open forum for non-Catholics today on Catholic Answers Live. We've got to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples taking your questions today. Maybe not your questions. If you're a Catholic, not your question. It's open forum for non-Catholics. We go, oh, look at this. Karen in Waco, Texas, hey, where Tim just came back from listening on 98.3 FM. Karen, you are on with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Were you there at St. Louis just the other night?
No, I was not. This is my first time hearing this.
Karen. Karen, I got to tell you now, I'll be coming back to Waco because Father John over there told me he's going to have me back. So when I come back to Waco, Texas, I want to meet you, okay?
Okay, awesome.
You come and you ask a question after my talk in Waco and tell me, I'm Karen, the one who talked to you on the radio. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. I actually was a Catholic. I grew up a Catholic and I became serious a Catholic when I became an adult. However, I'm now non-denominational. I'm evangelical.
Okay.
And I left the Catholic Church primarily because, you know, I believe that Jesus only died once for our sins.
Yes.
And, you know, with the Eucharist, of course, you know, he dies every time you have communion.
All right, Karen, let me jump in here real quick because you've just made a very, very important point. Karen, I want to invite you to come back to the Catholic faith. And this is why. Because you left for something the Catholic Church does not teach. The Catholic Church has never taught that we kill Jesus over and over again. Karen, that's something I used to say Catholics teach because that's what my Baptist pastor taught me and that's what my Pentecostal friends taught. But when I actually learned what the Catholic Church teaches, no, we believe Jesus Christ died once for all 2,000 years ago on the cross in the Eucharist. We don't re-crucify Christ, but we experience mystically that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ communicated to us through the Eucharist. This is why, Karen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and by the way, Karen, I'm going to offer you something. If you don't mind, Karen, I'd like to send you a free gift. And that gift is my CD set called Living Bread. It's 4 hours of teaching on the Eucharist, and I go through and show you biblically the truth of what the Eucharist is. And Karen, if you want, you can just give your address to our phone screener, and I'm going to send that out to you at no charge, and you stay in touch, because here's the bottom line. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15 says, the cup which we, now it's, this is referring to communion, right? We Catholics refer to it as the Eucharist because when Jesus, you know, gives thanks in the Eucharistic prayer in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, he uses the term Eucharisto, the verb, and that's why we call it the Eucharist. That's a biblically based term. But St. Paul says there, the cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? That's what the Eucharist is. It's our participating in what Jesus did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, and that is by divine commandment. See, Jesus knows, Karen, that you and I as human beings need more than just to remember something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We need to experience it now. And this is why the blood of Jesus Christ is not only something that was shed 2,000 years ago, but it's something that we participate in now through the Eucharist. And by walking with the Lord and confessing our sins and so forth, the blood of Jesus gets applied to our life. And there's many ways the blood of Jesus is applied in Catholic and biblical teaching. But a principal way is through the Eucharist, and that's what St. Paul taught. So, Karen, I emphasize, you left the Catholic Church because of something the Catholic Church doesn't teach. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that, you know, I've always been told when I was in the Catholic Church that when you get the wafer, you could not let a piece of it drop because that was like the body of Christ.
Yes, and it so is. Karen, it is. And I'll jump in real quick here. Yes, it is because Jesus said so. Jesus is the one who said in Luke chapter 22, verse 18, "This is my body." Right? This is. And as the great Saint Cyril of Jerusalem said in the 4th century, Jesus' word is so powerful, it's more powerful than nature. When Jesus speaks, and you know this, Karen, God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? When God speaks, what he says is. When Jesus says, God says, this is my body, that's what it is. And that's why St. Paul would say that the Eucharist communion is our participation in the body and blood of the Lord. And that's why, if you go forward, Karen, to 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, St. Paul will say, if anyone eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily, he eats and drinks damnation to himself because he does not discern the body of the Lord. Check it out, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 29. See, in your evangelical communities, and Karen, I was raised there, they teach that the Eucharist is just grape juice and crackers. But that's not what the New Testament teaches. And the reason why we teach people, yes, you treat the Eucharist with respect is because we've been given a tremendous gift to receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity every day if you go to daily Mass, or once a week if you're a Catholic in good standing with the Church.
Well, my mom would be happy that you said all of that.
Well, Karen, let me tell you, please, let me beg you. Let the phone operator here, our call screener, take down your address and let me send that free CD set to you. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I will sign it and I will put my email address on there. I'm going to give you my personal email address. I would like to hear from you. You tell me what's right or what's wrong about what you hear on that CD. What do you say?
I say that's a great, I would love to do that.
Well, God bless you, Karen. The call screener will take your name. And I really appreciate you being a good sport by asking the question respectfully and listening to the response. God bless you, Karen, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Karen. Open forum for non-Catholics today. If you are a non-Catholic, we're taking any call on any aspect of Catholic faith or belief. I believe everything you say, Tim, except when you say, let me jump in real quick here. Somehow.
I got to go to confession.
Your words move me, and I like, yes, Tim gets it, but not when you say, let me jump in real quick.
let me jump in real longly.
Yeah.
Maybe I should say that.
Second hour, same topic, open forum for non-Catholics. If you are a non-Catholic, if you used to be a Catholic, if you maybe think you might want to become a Catholic, if you're an atheist, if you're in the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, anybody in that range, we're happy to take your call on any aspect of Catholic life or teaching.
We got to get these folks to hang on, too. We got a lot of callers.
And those of you who are on the line, hang on. 888-318-7884 is the number. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.